Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 14. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the book of Revelation, the 11th chapter. Then there was given to me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, "Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out from their mouths and devours their enemies. So if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying, and they will have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is mystically called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet. And great fear fell upon those who were watching them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. The third is coming quickly. This is the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Revelation 11 is perhaps the most highly contested portion of the book of Revelation because so many people want to make it about strange things that happen only once at the end of the world. And the book of Revelation is never about strange things that happen only once in the history of the world. It talks about the ongoing struggle of the people of God against the power of evil in their daily lives over the course of the years. It can't just be about one final ending because, after all, the book of Revelation ends the world 3 times. However, if you look, you find that we're filled with Old Testament analogies. This has always been the song and the story of the people of Israel, the song and the story of the people of God, the song and the story of the successors of Israel, the Christian church. It's always important for us to understand who the message is to and what the message is about. In fact, only 14 verses out of the entire book of Revelation don't have some Old Testament reference. So, for example, in our reading today out of Revelation 11, you hear about 1,260 days, you hear about 3.5 years, and so on. And these are the same times and the same periods and the same measurements that are given in the book of Daniel. So they've been around for a while, and they've been around for a while even by the time we get to the book of Revelation. And to understand it, we look simply at what the scripture says. And what does the scripture say? It says that God has always been with his people and will always be with his people. What does the scripture say? The gospel of Jesus Christ will prevail against all odds, against all forces that the world might array against it, just as it always has. But God doesn't use force to destroy his enemies. He uses his word, which is why in Revelation 11 we have faithful witnesses proclaiming the word, and this is what the people who hate God, who hate his word, who hate his message, are rebelling against and reviling and hating. We don't use their tools. We don't use their ends. We don't use their means. We use something far stronger. We use something eternal, the word of God. That's who we are, the children of God, born again of water and the Spirit, the church of God gathered around his word and sacrament, the church of God who know him and have his word revealed to them. And so let's talk about some highlights of this, because there simply is no way in the time allotted to us this morning that I could possibly cover all of the elements of Revelation 11. To get into a truly detailed study of it, I could imagine spending almost a year going verse by verse. But here are some important things. The first is, John is told to measure the church. Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread it underfoot, and tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. You go to this and you understand you're supposed to be looking at the church, not at what the evil ones are doing outside of the walls of the church. When he tells him to measure the church and those who worship in it, to measure the temple and those who worship in it, he's telling them something vitally important, that we aren't going to find relief and hope and satisfaction looking at the way that people in the world do things, looking at the way that the enemies of God do things. We're only going to find fear and hatred and loss. And these are manifest in our days, certainly with this great pandemic. Look at the amount of fear that's out there and the things that people are willing to do to try to gain control of some sort of power, thinking that somehow or another it's going to help them gain control of their mortality. They throw themselves into all sorts of wantonness and unwise actions, even stupidity. Things that can only harm them and that have been proven over the generations to harm them, that their loving God and Father has told them will harm them, to deny their creation, to deny their creator, to deny everything that he's given, thinking that somehow or another this is going to give them control, or the illusion makes the problem really worse. Not only don't they gain control, they lose the one who would have given them everything. As this reading says, the true God of the earth. Not them. The one who made it. The one who made us. The one who still holds us in his hand. It also says something fascinating here that you can quickly overlook, because it says that this is the holy place, the temple of God that they're supposed to be measuring. And this is the, and they're to be standing by the altar. This is the altar of incense. It's the only one in the sanctuary. And that's where the prayers of the saints of God go up, the prayers of the people of God go up. If there's one thing that sets aside the people of God, it's the fact that they pray together and in his house, that they call upon a Father, not an unknown God, but a Father who's been revealed to them through Jesus Christ and hears their prayers for his sake. Earlier in this, in the same book, it talks about the prayers of the saints being like a golden bowl filled with incense lifted up before the face of God, heard and answered every single time. What causes all of this to come about? God interacting with his people as they come together with him in worship, in prayer, in grace, in mercy, and to receive his mercies. But even more, these two faithful witnesses, there have been a lot of arguments. What are they? Who are they? What do they mean? What have they been? What have they said? It's really kind of silly, honestly, because it's not about the number two or who they are or who they represent historically. In the scripture, it tells us that every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. This is simply God reflecting his word. You go back to the Old Testament and it tells you exactly who these things are. And Jesus quotes this passage from Deuteronomy over and over again, too. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two witnesses. And here we have it, the two witnesses, the two olive trees. Olive trees never die unless they're killed. That's something interesting, isn't it? Olive trees never die unless they're killed. There are some olive trees in Israel that go back to the days of Jesus. Two lampstands, the shining light in a dark and evil world. This proclamation goes forth and people hate it, but it still goes forth. I had a friend who was giving a presentation that I heard last week, and he talked about going through the airports dressed as a pastor in his clerical collar and getting yelled at and badgered by people in the hallways. I'm sure that they had various reasons for yelling out what they did. He said, I only smiled. Why would they hate somebody who wants only to love them? It's because they're afraid that their sins will be revealed. They're afraid that that's the reason that God has come to them. They're afraid of these days. They're afraid of these hours. They're afraid of their mortality. They're afraid of everything. And honestly, I think a lot of us Christians are too. What we know that they don't, the word that the faithful witnesses are truly proclaiming, is that God has not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world through Christ. God didn't come to cast us into hell. God came to save us who were destined to be cast into hell from eternal damnation. And it would cost him his life. It would cost him his most precious possession, his only son. And it would cost him the Holy Spirit working in a dark and evil place for every generation until he comes again. But through this means, he saves us. And that word still gets proclaimed in the streets and in the temple courts as they're being trampled by the Gentiles and in every land on the face of the earth. And we, his people, are those faithful witnesses, that church which will not stop speaking the word. And at every point in history, when the evil ones thought that they had wiped out the church came back. You look at what happened after the fall of the Soviet Union, the church was there. The Chinese communists closed the borders of China to Christians and to Christian missionaries. And there were less than 100,000 Christians in the entire land. They opened up the borders 40 years later during part of the Cultural Revolution, or another one of their cultural revolutions. And they had so many Christians living in the land that now the Chinese communists are actually trying to do something to get them under control. Over and over and over again, the history of the world shows that the word cannot be restricted and cannot be stopped, because it goes forth by the power of God to save people. The Revelation reading says, and I will grant to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy. A lot of the readings say, I will grant power to them, but it's more than that. Will be his witnesses. Will be his people. It's not that he's simply given us power. He's given us a call. He's given us a home. He's given us a family. He's given us a message. He's given us each other. He's given us baptism, the Lord's Supper, and his holy and sacred word. And all of these gather this day to proclaim your salvation to you. And those witnesses dressed in sackcloth, the signs of those who are in mourning, the signs of those who are in repentance, these two witnesses will go forth even this Lent and proclaim our need to repent because we're destroying ourselves. But to tell us that repentance doesn't simply mean to be sorry, but that we have a place to turn. We have a God in heaven. We have a hope that can never be taken away. Jesus, the righteous Son of God, our Savior, and the Word proclaimed that we belong to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Joel and Krista Young, who serve the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.